Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome back to the show. It is AfterBuzz TV on a Sunday night. We are talking about the last episode of Season 8 of The Walking Dead. Negan was terrific this weekend in Rampage. Maggie does her best impression of Sean Penn in Mystic River. And is Dwight going to find Sherry? There's so much to talk about tonight. We can't wait. It's the last episode of the season. We'll see you guys in just 1 second.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
It's always so much fun. I relish the intro. I really like
that.
It
was really good. You gave me a lot of energy doing that.
We love when you do the intro.
Appreciate that, guys. Thank you.
You brought the fire tonight.
So we're here, guys. We're back. It's Walking Dead. It's AfterBuzz TV. It's Sunday. It's the last episode of Season 8. 16 episodes deep. 40 almost episodes of Negan. This is titled Wrath. We're going to break the whole thing down. I got the full panel in house.
Full
the boys are back in town.
We are here. We got lights.
Oh, it's exciting.
We're about to turn it up in here. Turn it up.
This is good. Timothy Michael on the end. How you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you guys?
I'm good. Welcome back.
Sorry I missed the last episode. I really enjoyed it. Just my overall thoughts of that last episode.
You liked it. Okay.
I did. I really liked it.
That's great.
Yeah.
Daryl.
What's up?
Our social media correspondent.
I'm here. I'm waiting for people to tell me what they think. I mean, I've already asked what they would rate the episode tonight, and most of them are giving me like an 8 to 9. So that's pretty good.
Yeah. All right. I'm Ben Bateman. What's going on, guys? I grew out the scruff a little. I feel like we're in a zombie apocalypse. You know, it's like this is what it would be like, right?
I like it.
I'd have some nicely trimmed facial hair, right?
My eyebrows would probably be just heinous. So I don't want to talk about that and growing hair in the zombie apocalypse.
All right, excellent. So tell me, guys, what do you think? What do you think about this episode? Like, just give me a scale of 1 to 10, shot out of a cannon. Did you like it? Did you not? I mean, we're so far into the show now. How do you react to this episode?
I give it a 9.
Okay.
Straight out of the bat.
Straight up. That's a good rating.
Yeah.
I gave it an 8.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Also good.
I call this the episode of didn't see this happening, because there were a couple things that happened this episode that I have to admit I did not have any clue that would be something that would show up tonight.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So I got to give him props for that.
You know, it's weird. I when I use the 1 to 10 scale, I tend to think of like 10 as the unattainably perfect anything, and 5 is that average. So I usually end up somewhere in between there. Mm-hmm. 150 episodes into the show, it's hard for me to even like process what happens. It feels so swingy, you know. It's like I want so much out of a finale,
sure,
but it's hard because they can only give you so much. I was actually surprised it was only an hour.
Me too.
I thought they would double it. That's what they used to do. I'd go probably a little lower than you guys, like a 7.2. I'd go like a little lower, maybe like a 7.6. But I think it was in the above average, significantly good episode.
Yeah,
but not amazing. Camp. I don't know. We'll break the whole thing down. Coming up on the show, guys, got a lot of fun stuff happening. We're gonna be talking about comic book spoilers. There's a ton of cool stuff that happened here in this episode. I want to talk about Negan in the comics versus Negan in the show.
Yeah.
After his arc sort of ends. Mm-hmm. I know you and I read the comics, so we'll get there at the end of the episode. Super spoiler edition. We have some news about something that's actually already happened on Fear the Walking Dead, which you were gonna be covering the after show for after this episode.
Yes, so if you guys watched Fear the Walking Dead or already have watched it on the East Coast, you know, stay tuned because me and my girl Krista are gonna be covering that. And I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, literally. Like right after this, you're going to watch it
and then come back
into there.
So stay tuned for that. So we're going to be talking a little bit about that comic book stuff, news, and I'll be doing some shout outs as well. But I suggest we get into episode 16, Wrath, talking about everything that happened. You know, the first thing this episode opens on, this was interesting to me, is we got one of the first character shots was Alden. Mm-hmm. It's him walking. And then right after, we got a character shot of Sadiq. And then Sadiq gets his second monologue in 2 episodes.
Yeah.
I really think they were setting the table for, we are going to be moving away from your primary characters and trying to really focus on some of these secondary characters and pushing them into the forefront as we go forward.
Yeah.
That's the feeling I got. Sadiq especially, as he's now had 2 monologues to open episodes in 2 episodes.
Yeah, I feel like Sadiq is definitely going to be more of a prominent character as the seasons go on. And Alden, you know, it's interesting because we saw a couple of things that I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit later with him and Maggie that I feel like there could be some potential relationship between those two.
Big time.
But the funny thing is, it actually, in all reality, opened up with my complaint of Carl walking with Rick at the very top of the show, technically.
Tell us about your exact complaint.
So my exact complaint, and you guys, you know, I'm tripping tonight, but when they show the moment of Carl walking with Rick, to me, Rick's hair, if you look at the very first episodes, like season 1,
sure,
you know, his hair's short. And if they're trying to play a playback of Rick, you know, with Carl, the young Carl, I felt like his hair looks like the current Rick that we see. So that was my little bit of beef. I was like, why, you know, because they shaved him up. I could, you know, they clearly shaved him up. I was like, why didn't they cut his hair too? Because if they're going to do a flashback, his hair was not that long at the very beginning of the episode.
Here's my counterpoint for you. So in the beginning of the show, when he has Carl and Carl's a baby or a young boy,
yeah,
you don't know what length Rick's hair was at that point, because he's walking with Carl. So that could have been before we ever met Rick when he was in the hospital. Could have been even before that. His hair was longer at that point. He hadn't cut it. It's an older memory. It's not like exactly the moment we met Rick. It's just from before the zombie apocalypse.
Okay, I'll give you that.
So I actually think
that's a good point. I can receive that.
I didn't even tell you outside of here. I waited to give that to you.
That's what you were waiting for. I like that.
If that's your biggest beef with this episode, then it was a fairly good episode.
I'm just saying, it's a small, minor thing. That's why I gave it an 8. I haven't given it an 8 in a long time. I gave it an 8. Give me my props.
Yes,
that,
I give you your props. I half agree with you.
Okay.
I felt like when it, in terms of the whole Alden and Sadiq being bigger than they are next season, I feel like, yes, they obviously will have to be because they are new characters that we've come to know and maybe like. But I felt like it was also just for this episode, because it was so much foreshadowing of Alden, you know, what he says in the end, and then Sadiq doing what he does for Negan. I felt like they were focusing on them because of their roles in this episode. I don't necessarily agree that they're going to be bigger in the next season.
It's hard for me to, I mean, maybe, no, I'm going to stick with my point.
Okay, definitely. Yeah, I was just, you know.
They pick their moments. You know, it's like you open an episode with those characters to really show you, like, this is the future. This is what's important. I mean, the future of Walking Dead is really going to be kind of fascinating, because it's going to be one of the only shows on TV you're going to be able to think of that's going to pull probably 2 or 3 times the size of ratings of most shows on TV. While being regarded as one of the biggest failing shows on TV because of the decrease in numbers. So, like, if you are Sadiq and you have this opportunity, it's an enormous opportunity for your career. It's huge. You're going to be getting watched by more people than most shows on TV. But there's also the sense of, like, what happens over the course of the next 2 seasons in Walking Dead is, like, how important is it to the show? I don't know. It almost, to me, feels like the show just ended. Like, this was the end of, like, the part of it we're supposed to care about. And now they're going to just sort of going to the death throes of the next 2 years. Just my opinion.
Okay, once again, I'm totally going to disagree with you, because I feel like I liked this episode. And the reason why I gave it a 9 was because I felt like it was a reset finale. It wasn't a bad finale. It wasn't an amazing finale. I thought it was a good reset finale to throw us into something that we're about to be like, oh, you guys, this is going to be a ride. So I feel like the best is yet to come with The Walking Dead. And I feel like this was just a starting point.
Well, they did.
I agree with you there. I'm going
to
agree with you.
They did make one really important decision to change up from the comic book storyline. We'll talk about that later in the episode. But there's one big reveal at the end of the episode that's really important, and it does signal kind of, they're saying, okay, we're going to just sort of take these characters and write a different direction than you were expecting. I like that.
Danny Grace on the chat says the series could have ended tonight if they wanted to.
I agree. That's kind of exactly my point. And Tim said the same thing. It's a reset finale. It feels in a lot of ways like the show we just watched for 8 years just ended. And now they're sort of like, okay, this is phase two or phase four or whatever. I don't know what you're going to say.
I don't know. I feel like there have been so many shows that could have potentially ended with their season finales. And then the series was like, or the network was like, no, we're going to give you a green light to do another season, another 2 seasons. And then they just blew it out of the park with those 2 seasons. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing where The Walking Dead goes. I have hope and optimism about the fact that it's going to get really, really good.
Well, as things like The Ben Stiller Show or Fear the Walking Dead or Friday Night Lights can show us, ratings have nothing to do with quality. So people watching a show is irrelevant. It's, you know, if this is a great season 9, a great season 10 that comes up, maybe this will be looked at as one of the great tragedies of all time, is that nobody ever watched the seasons, that the ratings died off and those were forgotten. I mean, who knows? We'll see. Only time can tell. In the meantime, I do want to share something with you guys really quickly. Want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life? For those who do, we have a podcast for you. High energy, sorry.
I'm feeling it.
Maria Menounos. Podcast Edition is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder every single Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria features celebrity influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of your life, from health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister you've never had, you've always wanted. Maria's the best. We actually got to see her tonight, which is awesome.
She's actually here right now. Nice to say hi to her.
She was doing her own after show, which was really, really fun. Go to iTunes, subscribe to it, download the show, Conversations with Maria Menounos, for free. Be sure to comment and let her know that this is how you found out about it. If you let her know that you heard it on the Walking Dead after show with Daryl, Tim, with Ben, that would be really nice of you guys. I know a couple of you guys did it, which is really cool you did. And, you know, check it out. Podcast Edition, Maria Menounos, Conversations, every single Friday. Check that out. Let's get into this crazy bloodbath of a war that we just watched tonight.
Yeah.
So we saw sort of some of the we were teased about this betrayal that Negan had set up, right? About this trap, basically. And the weird thing about this episode being the length that it was, instead of being double long, was it felt like we moved from moment to moment much faster than I'm used to. In these big episodes, they're really drawn out usually, and they usually take a lot of time.
They do.
Right?
I like the pacing tonight, though, because I think it gave me enough of what I needed, and then we moved on to the next character. Like, that's all, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't need it drawn out too much.
I agree with you. I felt like it followed the pace of the season that we've been watching. Yeah. I felt like this season was very fast-paced. We're sitting here going, has it been months? And no, it's only been a few days. So I like the pacing.
Yeah.
It's been about a month, I think, right, since the whole thing with Glenn started.
Yeah.
That's like what one of our listeners told us. So the whole war has been going on. We've seen some crazy stuff happen. Obviously, Aaron, Oceanside, they show up. They, you know, called it last week, obviously. Yeah. That, to me, that was one of the lazier things the show's ever done, was the setup for that. It was just sort of like, it was the riders of Rohirrim showing up to help out Gandalf and Helm's Deep.
But they needed to do it.
I love the Lord of the Rings reference.
Of course, it's the best thing ever. You know, on the seventh day, look north. It's the best thing ever, but it's basically that. And, you know, they show up and you're just like, okay, obviously. We got 4 minutes of Aaron last episode, so, like, obviously that was going
to
happen.
Well, I wanted to ask you guys, did you think that that whole Aaron thing, I guess my only critique with the last episode was the Aaron and the Oceanside people wasn't necessary. And I'm going to just flow it into this episode with, I felt like them being there wasn't exactly necessary. They could have easily set different traps. Tara could have easily shot them in the woods. Like, there's other things that could have happened besides Oceanside throwing firebombs at them.
Go ahead.
Well, that's true. But on the flip side, this episode was clearly about Rick uniting and bringing groups together. So I think they needed to show that group also being brought into what we're seeing is a bigger army that Rick is building. Mm-hmm. So I think that was why it's important.
I would argue that the Aaron stuff last episode was one of the laziest choices from a writer's perspective this show's ever done. It was like, when it showed up in the episode, it was just like, okay, and I said this last week, but I'll say it again. It was like, all right, so you wanted to put the scene into an episode, and you decided that this scene that felt totally forced was just going to be in this episode. You needed the 6 minutes to show us this. And when it ended, I was like, that's exactly what it was. We all know exactly what's going to happen. We're going to have a quick insert next week of them showing up and helping out the big war. And that's what it's going to be. And Aaron, you guys told me Aaron said something tonight. I didn't even notice. I didn't even hear him.
He had like a quick moment. I don't even remember if it was an exact, like a lot of
dialogue,
but
he
had a moment. And then we just were like, oh, there's Aaron, you know, leading the pack. So, that was.
I think would have reset the whole thing for me. And yes, this, like I said, was a reset episode. So I'm glad to see Oceanside still in the mix somewhere. But I would have loved to have seen a moment with Aaron and Enid. That would have at least given me something of what, I don't know, just something with him and her in a more substantial way than him and Oceanside. I don't know.
Something. I mean, the Oceanside stuff was what it was. So, but at the same time that we have that, we have the big setup. You know, Rick, we're all going to go out and do our thing. You have, like, the episode opened in a way that was a little bit similar to the season premiere right after we had seen, or was it, I'm trying to remember now. There's the first season premiere that happens after the Glenn death, where it's all like kind of rainbow colored and it seemed like they were trying to pull back from violence.
Right.
It's a kingdom. And then there was another season premiere. I think it might have been this season premiere where it felt like everybody was sort of having their moment with the kind of sappy music.
Yes.
And that was what this one felt like a little bit to me. It was like that it opens up, you see the Ezekiel conversation with Jerry, and it's like, how did Ezekiel not die, by the way?
You thought he was going to die. You said it at the beginning.
Honest to God.
You literally turned to me and like cut off his neck. You know, I'm like, all right.
Ezekiel,
I thought he was
dying, it says on the sheet right here. It's underlined. It's in a big square.
It's funny that you had that moment with Ezekiel and then Morgan had his moment with Carol. And I was like, I wrote in my notes, oh, Morgan's going to die in this episode.
Well, how could he?
We knew he was going to fear.
Yeah, but I think with fear, it's a flashback.
It was a prequel?
I feel like it's a, like he was, so just kind of to honor him, I thought that he would die in Walking Dead, but wait, he's still alive
in
fear. I thought that would have been kind of cool.
Yeah, I was totally surprised. We got like almost no Ezekiel moments in tonight's episode. He got sort of his monologue at the beginning, his sort of comedy writing with Jerry, and then he's just not really in
the show. We see him fight with the team for a little bit.
Yeah, for a second. Yeah, everybody kind of gets their moment.
Yeah.
The big moment, though, there in the big, you know, in the war was that Eugene, it turns out, is actually not as much of a dickbag as we thought.
Yeah. This is probably the episode that he had the most balls I've seen in several seasons.
Well, it turns out that he's a better actor than we thought, right? That he's actually been setting us up and that he put, explosive rounds into these guns and everybody's hands blow up. Can you imagine shooting a gun and having it blow up in your hand?
Oh, yeah.
It's terrifying.
Yeah, that wouldn't be fun.
The moment that he said that he wanted to go with Negan, I knew something was up.
Right.
Because
that's not his character.
He's like, right, exactly. He's so cowardly and just, like, I don't want to say the word demure, but he was. And he's so deathly afraid of Negan that to volunteer yourself to spend more time with Negan didn't make sense to me. So I was like, I knew something was up.
Yeah.
But would you let him back into your group? Like, if you're Rick, do you really let him back in and trust him after that? Because I don't know if I still trust. I wouldn't trust him. Yeah, he did that move, but then who's to say down the line that he's not going to turn on me with somebody else and flip it up with me the same way that he did kind of with Negan?
Here would be my opinion. It would be, if you're Rick or anybody close to Eugene, it would be, okay, number one, you're already kind of a POS because you led Abraham and Rosita on and made them believe that you were some crazy scientist.
Yeah.
And that's how you knew how to solve and that's how you stayed alive. You lied to everybody. We already found that out, right? So then you defected and you went to Negan's side. And even if you helped us out in this moment, you still worked for him.
Technically,
for
yeah.
a lot of it. Yeah. And we don't, I mean, on Rick's side or any of his friend's side, his former friend's side, you still have to assume he did some pretty bad stuff. So for me, if I was Rick and I was going to let him in, it can't be that much worse than letting like any of those saviors or into your camp. And, you know, but if I was going to, it would be like, all right, you're in, but my eyes are completely on you. And if you ever do anything that I believe is out of the ordinary, that's not just keeping yourself alive, I'm going to call you on it because that's 100% your
MO.
And you're not going to change.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's another level of betrayal, though, because, yes, Rick and that group let the Saviors and them in, but the Saviors never really knew them. He was never really connected.
Yeah, right.
They were really never connected to that group. Whereas Eugene, on the other hand, was. Like, they called him a friend. They saved his life. He didn't really save their lives at any kind of point, except for tonight. But they risked their lives for Eugene, and he turned his back on them. So I can't imagine that they would let him back in so easily. Because if we look at Dwight's whole situation, they sent Dwight away.
Right.
And Dwight is kind of on the same level or even a little bit less than Eugene on the betrayal level. Because like I said, Dwight didn't really know them beforehand, but Eugene did. And I feel like the only reason they would keep Eugene around is because of what he knows, because of what his ability to do with making bullets and stuff. That's really the only reason that they would keep him around.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. It's a whole other level of betrayal. And also, what's the interest in actually keeping you? Like, what's the interest in giving him opportunity? I mean, I guess he can make bullets. He's a smart guy.
He can make bullets. I mean, that's the thing. He probably can make so many different explosives and things down the line as well.
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
I mean, I feel like we are just, as much as I didn't like Eugene before, tonight, like I said, he caught some balls underneath him.
Definitely.
So I'm almost like he could be a commodity to the team because he is so smart. So there's so many other things that he probably could create to help fight against herds and fight against, you know, people like Negan. You know, he is a commodity more than the others in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Well, he always was a commodity. That's why Negan wanted him.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I would just like to see him use it in a positive way,
right,
rather than in a negative way.
He will. He's not going to get relegated to any kind of... He's not going to be banished. He's going to be part of the group.
No, and I'm excited to see his relationship grow with Rosita as well.
Yes.
Yeah, they had that little line together today.
There was a moment. It was a deserved punch. He deserved it.
Totally.
He deserved it completely.
Yes.
If I was Rosita, though, I think I would have kicked him in the balls.
And then cut his hair.
Well, okay, punch him in the face felt good.
I wouldn't have punched him in the face and cut his mullet.
But I might have, like, I really might have just gone for it. Like, kick him in the balls, he lurches over, you uppercut, and then cut his hair, and then he's really suffered, you know?
I'm on the panel with some violent men.
Because she didn't, remember?
It's very Street Fighter review.
She didn't hit him with the gun last episode, and you and I both agreed that she should have hit him with the gun.
She should have hit him with the gun, for sure.
Can I ask the opinion in the chat?
Yes.
Should she have been rougher on him? I don't think a punch is enough. I'd love to know that. All right, so we are going to get into the next bit of our show. But before we do, I want to remind everybody here, we are on iTunes. You may be watching this live on YouTube, or you may be listening to this as a downloaded podcast on iTunes. And if you are, guys, this is how we literally do the show. If you download it and you give us a 5-star rating, and you tell us you love hearing what we're saying, we say hi in the standings, people can find it, we can pay for the studio, we can keep the thing going, we will never charge you any money for AfterBuzz TV podcasts, we never want to, we just want to keep doing it for free, and if we can, to win for everybody. So guys, give us a rating, give us a review on iTunes, check it out, go find the AfterBuzz TV show, because we kind of changed it on YouTube now, it's all different channels, but the feed is still the same here on iTunes, so keep giving us that, and we'll give you a live shout out in the chat we did the last couple weeks. At the same time, I do want to remind everybody also to comment on YouTube, subscribe, comment. I want to give a couple quick shout outs from last week. A comment from a user named Tom Brady is the GOAT. Go Patriots. I'm a Seahawks fan, but Maria, Kevin, Boston, that's kind of where we all come from here. Dwight is the only character I'm still rooting for. Honestly, I kind of agree with you. Tom Brady
kind of
is the
agree
GOAT.
With that. Yeah.
And I'm excited to talk about Dwight in just a second. The other one here is Happy Wife Taylor. She says, I thought the way Simon died was kind of weak. Guess we'll never see a Lucille death again. I guess it's kind of pointing out the fact that Negan just strangling him is like, he should have just bashed his head in, but I don't think they want to use that violent kind of stuff anymore because of that way that episode was received, and it was so violent.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting, but I know you were disappointed by the Dwight fight.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Dwight's grown on me. I mean, the man's face is burned.
I'm sorry, Simon fight.
Simon fight. Okay. I was like, wait, okay. Yeah, Simon, I felt like it was just anticlimactic because as much as we've seen him and we grew to hate him as much as we did, that fight to me, I wanted more. I wanted more of a drawn out. If that's the time, I felt like they should have used that episode to really draw out his fight.
I know you weren't here. Did you like the Simon
fight? No, I also felt that it was anticlimactic. But then it also brings me to my like Law and Order SVU kind of thing, where strangling someone is like a crime of passion. So I felt like when he bashes people's heads in, he does that with everybody. Yeah, and with Simon, it's a little bit more intimate because he was so close to him.
I trusted you kind of a thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So right. I felt like the strangling was just a more hands-on approach, pun intended, to kind of end that situation.
Yeah.
So I wasn't mad at it, but I do agree that it was anticlimactic.
Totally fair. Totally fair. So let's talk about Negan a little bit. We had a big moment with him and Rick. Obviously, the fight breaks out. The hands get blown off. Rick chases Negan down, and we have this big fight. So this is actually a really interesting part of the episode because we find out from Rick that basically, and we knew this, but he clarifies, his whole entire approach now is based on the letter that Carl wrote him.
Yeah. Right?
Everything Carl wanted and the death of Chandler Riggs in the show is supposed to inform Rick that this is how I want you to do things. Mm-hmm. And he's going to respect the memory of his son. So there's a line early on that says, all that's left of the people we lose are their ideas. And that kind of frames what the episode is going to be about. And later in the episode, when Rick is fighting with Negan, basically Negan says to him, you know, if you hadn't done this, maybe your son would have survived. And, you know, finally, at the end, Carl, you showed me the new world, is what we hear Carl say in the letter. And that kind of frames what the whole episode is about. So in Rick's final showdown with Negan, as they're fighting and punching each other before Rick, like, baby cuts Negan's throat.
Yeah.
The question is, do you think he did it? Like, he baby cut his throat on purpose, or do you think he did it, like, went for it, and that's what he got, and he noticed he was still alive, and now he's going to try to save him?
I mean, let's be real. He probably would have bled out if he just left him there.
Yeah,
I think him intervening and saying, telling Sadiq to save him, that was where the move was. I think that once he did it, he initially wanted Negan to die.
You think he was going for the kill?
I think that he was going for the kill, yes. Okay. And I honestly feel like, you know how sometimes you do something and you think that it's gonna make you feel better, and then immediately after you do it, you're like, nope, didn't work. Yeah. I feel like that's exactly what happened with Rick. He did it, and then he knew that he was wrong, or he knew that that's not what Carl would have wanted.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
And that's why
I agree with Timmy on this. He just knew that he went in for the kill. I think that he definitely went in for the kill, and then he had that conscious moment afterwards like, oh, you know, this is not what Carl wanted. I still have to, he's still living in that moment of losing Carl. So let me bring, you know, Negan back, you know?
And sure.
I mean, you said the baby cut. It was a nice little blade cut though.
You know? I think he went for it fully. I just like, I can't imagine, you cannot be in close quarters and try to cut someone's throat and be like, I'm going to only cut their throat a little bit.
Right.
That's not how it works.
Yeah. Because
you don't know how they're even going to react. You know, like they could bleed out quicker than
if I tried to cut someone's throat a little bit, I'd just miss them straight up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'd miss by like 7 inches probably. I'm not a fighter, guys. I'm a lover.
It's very specific though. All right. He's a lover as he like explains. I would have like hit him with the gun and then uppercut him and cut off his ponytail. Yes, you are a lover, Ben Bateman.
Yeah, maybe I'm a little bit violent because I just wanted to like have the eyeballs pulled out. Or something,
right.
You know, did a little Kill Bill.
Oh, I love. I just watched that movie, but
Kill Bill's good. The first one.
First one's both. Excellent.
Yeah,
I love both.
I like Kill Bill 1 a lot.
Okay.
He goes for the throat cut, and then he's like, "Sadiq, save him!" And Maggie has her moment here, and it's funny. I mentioned this in the intro here, but I said it was her best Mystic River impression. Do you guys remember in Mystic River, Sean Penn is like he won the Oscar for this, and it's played repeatedly. Is that my daughter in there?
Just on HBO, yeah.
Is that my daughter in there? And he's getting held back, and he's like losing it. And it, like when you watch it now, it's almost like it's not cartoonish, but it's pretty overacted. It's a great moment, it's amazing, but like she's having the Sean Penn in Mystic River moment where she's being held back, and it's just so over the top, and like. I guess I believed her because...
Did you expect that reaction?
Yeah, I did. I think they've been kind of sloppy with the way they've set up Maggie's intentions. And then it honestly continues into the final moment, which we'll talk about in a second. But it was so abrupt. It almost felt like she like the switch flipped, and it was just like, I don't know. You've already dealt with this so much. It's been a month. You've like totally processed this. You've talked about it so many times. You've had so many moments. I don't think that she would have reacted that way. I don't think she would have lost all composure. I think she, in front of her troops, in front of her people, I really think she would have held it together more. I think she's tougher than that.
I'm literally sitting over here like trying not to say anything to interrupt you, but I'm going to completely disagree on this. I felt like Cohen Beauty?
What?
Yes. Yeah, I know. I know you love her and I know you're obsessed with her, and I'm really surprised that you disagree.
Yeah.
Or that fact that you're saying that her, it was like a switch turned off and it was completely out of the blue. I felt like she's been holding on to this for a month. Like, okay, this man killed her husband, and yeah, I felt like, as sudden as it was for Negan to literally almost die, and that decision to be made, is exactly why her reaction was so abrupt, because it was something that wasn't planned. She in her mind thought that Rick was going to kill Negan, or Negan was going to die in some way, shape, or form by whoever. And I felt like when it didn't happen, that's when it switched. And I would have switched too. I felt like her reaction was not overdone. I felt like it was completely justified. I felt like the way that, and I love Lauren Cohen in this moment, because I was heartbroken for her. I was like, this, she just wants justice for her husband, and it's something that she's never going to get. And I felt for her.
But I feel like she's recognized in the course of a month, based on all the death and all of the sieges and all the insane amount of dramatic things that have happened in the course of a month, that she's never going to get justice. I think she's recognized that already. She's already had to kill people cold blood to prove points. Like, I just don't believe that she's that just like, I'm a normal person who's going to have my normal moment of just losing my shit because my husband is now dead, and I'm recognizing that the guy that killed him is never going to die. Like, I don't think it's bad writing. I don't think it's bad performance. I think she did a good job. It just felt, in that moment, heavy-handed. I don't know. What do you think,
Dave? I think she lost her emotion. I think in that, I believed it, because in that moment, listen, here's the thing. It's like the buildup. It's, this is not the plan that we've been talking mm-hmm. about this entire time. And yeah. It's like, you know, you start to think about Carl's really dead in some form because of Negan, you know, Glenn, obviously, you know, it's just, you could blame Negan in some regard to everything. So at that moment, it's like Rick has him at his lair. He's like, let me just kill him. Like, everybody's waiting for that moment. We've taken his team. This is the moment here. Kill Negan. And he didn't do it. I could see how Maggie just lost her stuff. And she was devastated. You know, like, this is the moment where Negan needs to go down. Yeah. And Rick completely 360'd it and went a different direction.
And I felt like it was a little selfish on Rick's part not to include everybody in this decision.
Exactly.
Because, like you said, Negan has had a hand in everybody's lives, because the people that he's killed were connected to these people that we're talking about. So for Rick to just sit there and go, oh, well, I'm going to go off of what my son wants because he wrote me a letter, and not discuss it with everybody, I felt like was selfish. I felt like they had talked about it. Maggie and him were on the same page about Negan needs to die. And then all of a sudden, in the last two episodes, literally, if you think about it, last 2 days, Rick changes his mind.
So I can relate to Rick in that sense. Like, I can see how he would come to that conclusion and say, you know what, like, me making a different decision and sparing someone's life is an understandable compromise to make. Even if it hurts someone else's feelings or upsets someone, there's a life in the balance. So he's deciding, you know, okay, in this moment, mm-hmm. I'm going to make this decision because it might save this person's life. And if I save this person's life, maybe we all come out better for it in the end. I think that's why Rick makes that decision. I think that's a justified moment. I think, you know, Lauren Cohen did a good job in that moment. Mm-hmm. I didn't think it was bad by any means, but talking about going back for a second to Rick and Negan in that moment and the reason that Negan pauses, because I think this is really important. Mm-hmm. You know, Rick says, give me 10 seconds. And he starts to mention Carl, and Negan starts to get visibly emotional. I don't think we've seen Negan get visibly emotional in the show yet, right? This was the first time?
Except for when he was talking about his wife, maybe.
I don't think he started crying. He starts crying almost in this moment. He gets actually,
I feel like we had
up.
Another Negan moment around Carl, you know.
He gets sad, I think, on the walkie, hearing it from Rick. But chat, confirm for me really quickly. I'm pretty sure we've never seen Negan get, like, emotional, like, choked up, like, tears. He almost has tears in this moment, and I think it was a big moment. It's cool for a couple reasons. It's really cool because it shows that he cared a lot about Carl. Mm-hmm. He cared about this kid that he thought was sort of a future figure.
Yeah.
And it also means that in some ways, he cared enough about Carl that he and Rick should be able to have some kind of alliance later, mm-hmm. eventually. I think that's what they're teasing, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think we've been getting that tease for a couple episodes now, too.
Seems like it.
So, it's going to be interesting to see where Negan plays it. You know, like how much is he really going to come on that other side? You know, I think that he would, but I think it's going to be a little bit more time before that happens.
It'll take a lot of time. And honestly, like, if I was the writers on the show, I would put Negan in the prison that they're talking about, or imprisoning him. And I would barely use him for a season. Mm-hmm. Like, I think you need to put Negan as like a, he's on the fringes kind of a character. And maybe at the end of season 9, he comes back in some capacity, but it's been too much Negan.
Like, they just talk about him, but they never show him kind of deal.
One of the comments I made, yeah, go ahead.
Oh no, sorry. Derek Hogan said Negan got emotional when he learned Carl's death. That's what I was saying. I think there was a moment.
Okay,
there.
Okay. So I guess I'm forgetting that he got choked up.
Yeah.
Big shout to the film Rampage that opened this last week, and I mentioned it in the opener. The reason I said it is because basically Jeffrey Dean Morgan plays Negan in Rampage. I'm not even kidding. Like, if you see the movie, he is actually just Negan.
He's the bad guy, or
he's like an anti-hero. So he shows up and he's like kind of a dick, but he starts talking, and like me and my buddy Andrew, who you know, is a big Walking Dead fan.
I know him too. I do a show with him.
Oh yeah, yeah. Every Friday. I'm sorry. we just looked at each other in theater, like, is he just doing Negan? Like, and by the end of the movie, it was like, wow, like, he was totally good, but couldn't he have just done a little something different? Hmm. It was bizarre. Like, so anyway, I think it was a good reminder that this one note thing we've seen from this guy, it got old.
Yeah.
It wasn't, okay. He did a great job, honestly, on the whole. Like, when I think about Negan in the comics, we'll talk about this in the comic book spoiler section, but when I think about him in the comics, he did a really good job with it. It's just that when you have somebody who's supposed to be that kind of, like, gimmicky character, mm-hmm. and it lasts 40 episodes, it takes a toll. That's a lot of time to see somebody who has a gimmick. So let's move on a little bit more, because we just have probably about 10 minutes left, and I want to make sure we cover everything. One of the big plot points in the episode was that Daryl finally lets Dwight go. He finally lets the pain and misery of Dwight. He takes him out to the woods, and Dwight basically apologizes, and he gives him the keys to the bike. He says, get out of here. Never come back. And then the last thing he says, and this was my favorite moment of the whole episode, he says, find her. I never really quite recognized how much I love the Dwight Sherry storyline. It's like taking me the last 6 episodes to really recognize that that's like one of my favorite relationships in the whole show.
Why do you love it so much?
There's something about the fact that he like had to accept it and let her go, that she left, that he shows up to their meeting point. She's not there. And she's like, you became somebody I didn't love anymore. He has to try to like work to get back to that person. He's disfigured.
Well, I think just in terms of his disfigurement, I think that says a lot with their backstory as well. Like, you literally had to lose your wife to this guy in this new world regime, and you're watching him with her, and then you both have to kind of live with it, and then you finally escape, but you still can't be together. It's like a love story. It's like
a tragic love story.
A tragic love story. It's your exactly star-crossed lovers. Yeah. Thank you.
And I just, there's something about that that feels so much more like, because I was thinking, like, next season, are they going to show us Dwight? I hope so. I think they will. And it feels like this sort of self-contained drama, like a story that I actually want to watch. Whereas like so much of this show in general has become these melodramatic, muddled sort of like big ensemble storylines that are all mixed together. Mm-hmm. It's like X goes to Y to convince Z to do Y to come back and meet A. And then there's the big, you know, it's like Dwight misses Sherry and he wants to find her, and he's on the road by himself. And where is she? And I hope he finds her, because I want to watch that story.
Yeah, me too.
That's what storytelling is.
And Charmed Original and Simon Cerno, it was he didn't get in a bike. He got in the truck. They wanted to clarify that it's a truck, not a bike. And it was, yes.
And like, for me, that was one of the biggest moments of the whole episode, because just Daryl even saying to him, find her, like he, you know, him understanding how important that is.
Yeah.
And then Dwight finds this letter at the old house, and it says, honeymoon with the infinity symbol. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that means. I don't know where she is. I don't know how he finds her, but I was so happy. It was truly my happiest moment in the whole episode.
I could tell. You're like really excited about this. I think that Daryl understands, you know, having to leave and go find someone, you know, like he's kind of he did it with his brother. Yeah. He did it with, I'm drawing a blank right now, but Maggie's little sister, you know.
Beth.
Beth, yeah. Yes, he did it with Beth. You know, I feel like he has, even though he doesn't like Dwight, but I think he understands Dwight.
He can respect his situation. Yes.
It was also interesting that they didn't make us confront the fact that Dwight had given them information that resulted in potentially a disaster. And we didn't have to have the whole, like, well, I got tricked into it, and I was duped into thinking it was the right decision, and I don't believe you. It was just like, get out of here. Well, we're not going to deal with any of this. Just leave.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because Dwight, when them driving into the woods, I thought Dwight was a goner. I thought he was going to be dead. Yeah, I thought he was going to be killed, just like I thought and predicted for the last five episodes that Negan wasn't going to make it, because I just felt like they've been setting it up for Dwight to die, and I'm glad that he didn't. One of the things that I like about this episode is that there are a lot of people going into it that I was like, I don't really care if they died. But then after it ended, I was like, I'm glad that they didn't. And that just signifies to me that they've wrapped up people really well.
Speaking of wrapping up people really well, Morgan goes and meets Jadis in the junkyard, mm-hmm. and we find out that Jadis' real name is Anne. This was a quick moment where I guess Jadis is going to join the regular cast, and Morgan is going to switch to Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Interesting moment, pretty quick. Bear with us for just 2 minutes, guys. We're going to get the news and talk a little bit more about that moment, because it actually, from what I understand, in Fear the Walking Dead, there's some stuff to talk about. But that was, I think, worth mentioning. Am I missing anything at all in this episode?
Well, the last moment with Maggie.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I kept teasing that. We have to get there. So, yeah, basically Jesus talking to Maggie. Maggie says, you know, Rick was right, blah, 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 was right, saving people. But Rick is wrong. Negan needs to die.
Mm-hmm.
And Daryl and Maggie and seemingly maybe Jesus.
Yeah.
I think he's on board.
Yeah.
They're going to try to restore order and then what it seems like kill Negan.
Which is weird to me because Jesus has been one of those characters, and they even tease it in this episode with him and Morgan about like not killing people, right. No matter how much they deserve it. And then he's in this conversation with Maggie, and Maggie's talking about how she's potentially going to kill Negan, and then maybe do something to Michonne and Rick. And I'm just like, whoa, this is like a 180-degree turn for Maggie and her character.
Yeah, now that part I had a little bit more trouble believing, because here's the thing. I felt like at this stage, if they're starting to feel that at some point Rick's leadership is crumbling in some way, because that's what I inevitably, this is what's happening. Mm-hmm. Daryl and Jesus and Maggie are feeling this way. They haven't had a conversation with Rick. I think it's really strange that all of a sudden they're like teaming up behind Rick's back to figure out how to take him down just because of this Negan situation without having a conversation with him prior to, because I feel like at this stage we would be having they would have conversations
but
first.
That just brings me back to my last point when I said that Rick didn't have the respect for them to have a conversation with them about his decision to let Negan live, and now they're not going to show him the same respect about having a conversation with him on questioning his leadership.
It feels like more of a teaser for a season finale than it actually feels like a really defined plot point that's going to last. Like, I feel like that conversation was sort of vague, and so next season could open, and within two episodes, all of that tension could just be diffused.
True.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's what TV does. Yep. So,
well, Dalton Farine says Jesus may rat Maggie out, so...
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Yeah. Not at all. So we'll see kind of what happens. But moving on, guys, there's just one or two other things to talk about. I do want to give a quick fan shout out. Anybody else in the chat we want to talk about? I mean, Vader Girl's always a good one to shout out.
You know, Vader's been quiet tonight.
Surprising.
So, surprisingly.
Anybody else?
Let's see. I mean, you know, they're really just still talking about this whole thing with Maggie and Jesus right now. So,
but okay. Charmed Original, Simon Serna, Mick. Javi Quintanilla, I like that name, all are in the chat, and we love everybody in the chat.
Excellent. Thank you guys so much. So we are going to get into news and gossip, and I only have one piece of news tonight.
You better be good with this.
It's a good one. So Tim, one more shout out, is going to be actually in like an hour on the Fear the Walking Dead after show.
Yes.
But it's been teased for a long time that Morgan was going to be going over to the Fear the Walking Dead. He's going to be joining the cast. Now, I haven't watched it yet because it aired like literally while we were doing this.
Right.
But I read online that it's not just one character in that episode, but it's in fact four characters from The Walking Dead that show up. Mm-hmm. What I read is that both Carol, and I wrote them down here, Carol, Jesus, Morgan, and Rick all show up in a season opener moment of Fear the Walking Dead. So you're going to go see that in just a second. But that's a big deal, guys. Now, I don't know if we're going to see all of them in the episode or if it's supposed to be some sort of precursor moment and it flashes forward. Mm-hmm. But like whatever it is, we know that Andrew Lincoln and the rest of the cast, they're all in Fear the Walking Dead. So that's a, it's kind of a big deal. You know, it means that the possibilities to cross the shows over are kind of endless.
Yeah, I'm excited to see. Like I said, I'm about to do Fear the Walking Dead. So I'm excited to see, especially with the momentum that Fear has been gaining, to see where this crossover is going to take place, how it's going to take place, yeah. when it's going to take place. I feel like that's the biggest key point is when, because we don't exactly know what time frame they're going to be following. So I'm excited. Like I said, join me there, you guys. In about an hour, I will be back with Fear the Walking Dead.
And I can't wait to watch, honestly.
People are asking. They're like, is Timmy going to be there? I'm like, Timmy's there. He's like, well, check him out.
I'm going to watch Fear, honestly. Like, I'm going to get back in
there. Do it, and then you could be one of my co-hosts sometimes.
I will guest on the show sometimes.
Yes, guest host.
But, okay, guys, so that's that. I do want to give a quick shout-out. We're going to talk comic book spoilers in just a second after we get through sign-offs, just because I don't want to spoil anything for any of you guys. But in the meantime, let's get to predictions. What's going to happen? Season 9? I'm going to jump in first here and say, so what I think is happening is that, as we mentioned, wrapping up season 8, I think that they're kind of aware of the fact that the direction of the show is a question mark, mm-hmm. that there are some fans that probably aren't going to come back. Like, I believe, just my guess, the season 9 premiere of Walking Dead is going to be by far the lowest rated premiere of all time.
Wow.
I think it's going to have significantly less viewers than either this finale or premiere. Not because the show's bad, but because I think a lot of fans feel kind of the way that I was expressing, which is that this felt kind of like the end cap on something. Like, not that the show was bad or it needs to be over, but just like they've done 8 years and you have to really want to re-up on this show to watch it again.
Yeah.
So I think that they have kind of cast out a lot of different nets, and one of them is Dwight.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to have Dwight as a real part of season 9. I think his story is going to be an actual thing we have to follow. I think this conflict they tease is important. Andrew Lincoln is going to become less the focus of the show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's going to be Maggie, but I think they're going to try to shift focus. They're going to try to find a way to make the show about somebody else, somebody that isn't Rick.
Yeah.
That's my biggest prediction.
Yeah, well, I think that we're going to have Alden and Maggie, a relationship that forms seems somewhere like there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Rick and obviously Negan are going to team up. I think that Negan's still going to somehow go against Rick in some way. I don't think it's going to be an easy transition for him, especially, you know, they're talking about putting him in jail or whatever, rotting in jail for the rest mm-hmm. of his life. But I feel like Rick is going to try and still kind of pull Negan more to his side, and I still feel like Negan will betray him in some form of a way.
Eventually, I think Negan can't help himself.
Yeah, I think that's just him. I think there's, you know, he's always going to have resentment towards Rick.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know. I hate doing predictions on finales because especially with this one, just because I felt like I said, it was such a reset finale. Like, they can go in any direction when we come back, which is why I have such hope for the show, because I felt like if they steered away from the comics, they would get better ratings and better responses to their episodes from the viewers, because people wouldn't be putting it up to such a high standard, and they can get away with more. I don't know if they're going to do that. We're going to talk comics in a second. Somebody in the chat predicted, because I don't want to steal their prediction, that Maggie might be the new Alpha, which would be interesting, because I've been teasing that I did want a new female villain.
But she
villain.
Has been, though. But she really has been, hasn't she?
What,
now for Maggie? Like, a little more Alpha?
He's talking about something else.
Yeah, it's a comic book reference.
Oh,
but
gotcha, okay.
I felt like with Jadis, I'm glad that she's not going to be like the new female bad guy, but maybe Maggie will. It would be a complete, like,
they can do whatever they want.
I would tune into, like, obviously I would do it anyway, but I would tune into that show, and I feel like everybody else would be like, oh, Maggie, wasn't she a good guy? Now she's a bad guy. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. So that's going to wrap us up on basic predictions, guys. Thank you so much for watching the full season. We are going to do comic book spoilers in just one quick second, just a quick 60-second discussion. But I do want to remind everybody who doesn't want to hear that you can find me personally at Ben Bateman Media, Twitter, Instagram, what have you, Action Movie Anatomy. Check out Nerds in Suits on Anchor. Timothy?
I am Timothy Michael. You can find me everywhere at I am Timothy Mike. Thank you guys so much for joining us this entire season. It has been a pleasure.
So, I have to follow that?
Do it. Jeez. Come on. You're good.
thank you, guys. You can follow me at Daryl Christian on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and also on our sister network, Black Hollywood Live. And, I'm really happy to be... I'm going to miss you guys. You know,
I'm like, going to miss you, too.
You know, they came up this last season. You know, I'm happy with them right now. So.
We've got a 60-second comic book spoiler coming right now, so this is a big spoiler alert right now.
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
Okay.
Spoiler alert!
So the quick discussion I want to have, first of all, is and D hasn't read the comic, so it's but just, you know, we're gonna spoil some shit for you. We always do. Negan versus Negan. Talk to me. Comic book versus show.
I was expecting the show to take a different twist on Negan because he's so different in the show than he is in the comics. I feel like in the comics he's a lot more vulgar, he's a lot more violent,
he's more sadistic,
right? Whereas in the show they toned him down, obviously for probably rating or what is that, the censorship sure. kind of thing that obviously yeah. networks go through. I felt like they could have killed him in this episode. Obviously I knew that wasn't going to happen because of the comics, but I was hoping that they would. I was hoping that they would, you know, turn away from the comics just for a second because I don't necessarily like his storyline in the comics.
I don't know if I want Negan in the show anymore. I agree with you. I think that it's interesting. I think actually Jeffrey Dean Morgan, for the most part, handled this character like a champ. I think yes. he did a really good job, as well as a representation of a comic book character as you could expect. But 40 episodes is a really long time,
yeah.
and it takes a toll because he does have a gimmick. So for my money, that's the biggest complaint mm-hmm. is that I think in the comic book, he gets to be on paper. He's a comic book character.
Yes.
It feels different. It doesn't mm-hmm. feel as much. It doesn't ring as much. And
right.
with him, it's just like, he has those moments where you're just like, dude, shut up. I'm yeah. so sick of this. That's one. Two, there was a big herd we saw earlier. Rick and the group noticed. He said it's bigger than ever. Times are changing. Is that the Whisperers, the group of, Alpha is the leader of this group of people that wears zombie skins mm-hmm. to blend in and pretends to be people?
It's a good prediction. I don't necessarily know if I agree with that because in the comics, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think that they have that many people in that group. And I feel like the show, like I said, this is a recent episode, so I feel like they might kind of shift the power back to the walkers, and in doing that, they need to show us more walkers. So I'm thinking that herd is actually authentic, and then they're going to try to make them the threat again, because they really haven't been.
Interesting. Okay, and then finally, speaking of Whisperers, you mentioned Maggie as possibly the new Alpha, mm-hmm. somebody in the chat. Do you think that's possible?
No.
Yeah.
I know. I feel bad. Whoever made that prediction, it's a cool prediction, but I don't think like the Alpha is pretty. It's a pretty bad character.
Yeah,
in the
comics, you have to be like evil,
right? And I don't think Maggie is that.
Alpha, for those listening, is a character that leads the group of Whisperers we just talked about, who basically in the comic books lets her daughter, her like 8 or 12 year old daughter, or whatever, get knowingly violated by the people in the group mm-hmm. because it feels like it furthers her agenda, which is like I think way too dark for this yeah. show. So I can't imagine them doing it.
I don't think
Maggie
so
especially would never be that character.
No
so.
Way.
I think that's going to do it, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for watching. One
I'll be
more
reading
sign off.
The comics, apparently,
thank you,
over
guys.
The break.
I'm Ben Bateman. You can find me next season. Well, maybe you'll find me next season. But check out my stuff in the meantime. Ben Bateman Media. Have a good one.
Goodbye, guys.
I don't know what to say. Sign off.
Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.